we deserve a band like this.
Clearly.
But we'll take it, right?
Yeah. God does.
It's not about deserving, it's about grace. The songs we just sang, my arms are wide open, holding nothing back, I surrender. That can be a problem for the average guy. You don't just get there overnight. You get there through opening your arms a bunch of times and closing them and opening them and just learning to keep them open longer. Amen?
Amen.
And it's a journey, it's a process, and we all go through it, and we're all in it. The young amateur photographer had wanted to go to the Grand Canyon his whole life, and he wanted to take pictures. So he finally got a chance to go, and he went to the Grand Canyon, and he slept in that hotel right there on the edge. I think it's the south edge. And his plan was he was going to get up before the sun rose the next morning and set up his tripod and his camera and catch that sun coming up over the east rim. And everything was going great. He got up early. He got out there. He's a little stumbling around. It's kind of dark. Got his tripod and his camera all set up. And just caught up in thinking how he wanted to get the angle right and get all the camera settings right. And then he just wandered off the edge of the canyon. And he's going down, man. I mean, gravity, he was having its way with him. And he was grabbing at bushes and shrubs, and finally he grabbed one that held. And he's hanging there on the side of the canyon and can't hear the rocks hit yet. And he starts yelling for help, which is natural. And it's echoing around the canyon, but nobody was up with him that early. Nobody heard him. And he's yelling for help and yelling for help. And finally he says, "Can anybody hear me? Can anybody hear me?" "Yes, I hear you," the voice said. "Great. Who is it?" "This is God." "Perfect. Get me out of this." "Okay. Let go." "Can anybody else up there hear me?" No, we can relate to that, can't we? When God wants to help you and get you out of something, He usually gives you a plan that's not a good plan in your mind. Let go. I surrender. We just sang that. And there are things we have to let go of. There are things that don't make sense to us in the Christian life. And we've said you have to check your logic and all your practical workings and exchange that in human reasoning and exchange that for the supernatural, for mysteries and paradoxes and parables, because it's supernatural. So we live in a natural world, but we're born into a supernatural world, a world of grace and faith, a world of fruit of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit. A world where there are unexplainable things. The natural world has that too. And today I want to focus on Romans 8:28, which is probably, if you never memorized a verse in your life, you know that one. Because we pull it out all the time to kind of comfort ourselves. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord, for those who are called according to His purpose. Now, here's a little amplified version of that. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, who knows all about us, who is involved in every aspect of our lives, and who's Almighty God and can do anything, causes all things to work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to His plan and purpose. This thing is packed with stuff. It's misused, I think, a lot. It's been misused by me. Now, I believe there are two things in here that are true. There are more than two, but there are two truths in here. One is that God wants good for me. And then two is God wants to be glorified in it. Now, that's not the order that it should be. The order is God's glory and God getting glory and then me being and receiving good from him. So the verse says he'll take any circumstance, any situation, any encounter, any disease, any financial problem, any family problem, any Las Vegas type problem, or any other kind of problem. And God can always take it and turn it for good. And he does. Now, he does it in his own time. And meanwhile, we are sitting there scratching our heads going, what is he thinking? But if you were a Stoic 300 years before Jesus was born, if you were a Stoic 300 years before Christ was born, you would be a member of the school of philosophy founded by a philosopher named Zeno of Sentium. Stoics held that the wise man should be free from passion, unmoved by joy, grief, and submissive to the natural law of the universe. You would aspire to be a person who accepts what happens without complaining or showing emotion, especially when something bad happens. You would be unfeeling, firmly restraining your response to pain and distress. And I added, and you better be single because this ain't going to work for marriage. But you know, a lot of good doctrine came out in theology and from this philosopher and what they said they believed. The Stoics believe in the Logos of God. Now, we call the Word of God the Logos of God on occasion, because Logos, in its definition, means the mind of God and his reason, his inspired, all-encompassing word. It's the divine wisdom manifest in creation, the government, and the redemption of the world. It encompassed everything in the world, the natural laws of nature and the universe, as well as the supernatural and the spiritual. So it's distinguishing here and saying, you know, there's a God who's sovereign and who's in control of everything. Now, these are things that I'm going to suggest that we make sure is in the fabric of our belief system. It's foundational to what we believe. And it's important that it's foundational. It's important that you and I get this down, because this is what gets us through life. And we have to decide, is it true or not? Remember last week I told you about the guy that came and was having marriage problem, and his wife said, go see Pete if you want to save the marriage. Remember that guy? And I said, let's cut to the chase scene. Do you want to be God's man? Well, kind of. I kind of want to surrender. I kind of want to open my arms. I kind of want to, but not yet, not fully, not all the way. And there's so many of us in that category right now. And then he says, I listen to you preach, I listen to Bob preach, I listen to the teaching, and I'm thinking, are you right? Yeah, you're right. Should I do what you're saying? Yeah, I should. Am I going to do it? Probably not. Jesus had an answer to that. He says, he who would save his life will lose it. And he who would lose his life for my sake will find it and gain it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? When we see things that happen, like with Susan, and happen in the thousands and thousands every day, where they're facing judgment, and there is a sure judgment, and you see things like Las Vegas, and you hear all the stories and the testimonies and the PTSD, all those people just being there, experiencing that, even if they weren't wounded and certainly killed. That's a very traumatic experience. But life is full of traumatic experiences. You never know when you're going to have one. I had one this week. I was minding my own business. I'd taken something and walked in the very narrow corridor between all the boxes and junk in my car in the garage, and threw something away in the trash can. On my way back, I caught my bedroom slipper on something that was sticking out and did a face plant into a piece of plywood. Right there. I've been telling the story. I decided I better be honest on tape here. I was out. I was sharing the gospel on Skid Row, and I was attacked. But I think I'd fly in here today. So there's a God, he's sovereign. And when you look up that word, sovereign means that it's one who exercises supreme, unlimited, supernatural authority. And this is where people get thrown off. There's an evangelist, if I named his name, you probably know who he is. And he had a son who turned out to be an evangelist as well and worked with the poor people in poverty-stricken areas. And I heard that he fell away from the faith and became an atheist. The son did. And the reason he became an atheist was because he couldn't understand why God would let people be in such poverty and why he wouldn't just solve all the poverty. Or why he wouldn't just, if he can heal like he healed when he was on planet Earth, why don't he just go into all the hospitals and empty them out? And so he began to doubt. Jesus said over at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, he says, "He who hears my word and believes him who sent me and believes the word and obeys the word is like the man that built his house on the rock. Now the winds and the waves of life," and that means the winds and the waves of life are not just when we have hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and tsunamis and floods. It's when we don't understand. It's when we don't get it. This doesn't seem fair. This doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem just. And so you start getting angry. Someone asked me a couple of weeks ago, I think I shared this with you last week, "Are you angry?" I said, "At who?" "Well, at God for taking Susan." Why would I be angry with God? He does all things well. He's a God of plan and purpose. He's a God who knows exactly what's best for me. See, that's in my theology. I believe in the character and the nature of who my God is. God doesn't make mistakes. And even though this is grievous, and even though I've been saddened, and even though there's a vacuum that I don't know will ever be filled, that she left, my God is a good God. My God does all things well, and he doesn't always tell me about it. I require extreme service from you with no complaining on your part and no explanation on mine. Now I got to decide, am I willing to live with that or not? Does God have to explain himself to me? Does the clay say to the potter, "Why'd you make me like this? Why'd you do this?" God in the dock. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called God in the Dock. And that's where we put God on trial to whether we like him or not, whether he's God or not, whether we're going to follow him or not. Is this a truth or not? And I just settled all that and said, it's all true. It doesn't have to be this complicated. He's not answerable to me. He's the master, I'm the servant, I'm answerable to him. And in that, over in Luke 17, he said the master and the slave, they were working out, the servant, they were working out in the field, and they came in after a hard day's work, and the master didn't say to the servant, "Let me serve you the meal." The servant served him the meal and then ate himself after he had already served his master. And then the servant said, "I'm an unworthy servant because I've only done what I was supposed to do." Now, the servant could say, "This is unfair and this is not right." And if he was really a spiritual leader, he'd serve me. He'd wash my feet. I wouldn't be washing his. He could have gone through all those drills. Not right, not just, not fair. But his response was, "I'm an unworthy servant. I've only done what I was supposed to do. I've only done my duty." Which implies that you should go the second mile and turn the other cheek and pray for your enemies and bless those who persecute you. We'll work our whole lives trying to get there. Can I get an amen from the congregation? Some of you are going to have a problem with that before the day's over. I'm not going to name names, though. There's a principle that the Stoics believed, and this was part of their belief system. They believed that the duty of every man was acceptance. I looked up acceptance. It's to make a favorable response to. It's to give admittance or approval, to endure without protest or reaction, to regard as proper, normal, and inevitable. Why would I be mad at God? The God of the universe, I'm going to question the God of the universe. I'm the clay. And I decided at some point that he could help himself to my life. He who did not spare his own son, how will he not also with him give me all things? You know what's, and we've talked about this before, a lot of the giving all things is giving suffering. Paul says you've not only been given the gift to believe in him, but to suffer for his sake. A gift of belief, a gift of faith, a gift of salvation. I've been given that. But I also, along with that, he said, in this world you'll have tribulation, that you live in a fallen world. And see, man started behind the power curve from the very beginning. And we're way behind the power curve now. What that means is I was born with a sin nature. So I'm behind the power curve to begin with. I've got this tendency in me to be selfish and mean and prideful, neglectful, lustful, deceiving, conniving, and a bunch of other words. I mean, that's what my basic raw tendency is in the human nature that I have, that's a fallen nature, starting to go back in the Garden of Eden. So not only that, I was born and raised then with this old crummy man code, which I think some of it must have come from these Stoics, who said you got to be unfeeling, you can't show emotion, you can't show, you know, especially when bad things happen. And so we grew up with a man code that says you can't say I'm hurting, you can't cry, you can't say I need help, you can't say I love you. You don't know how to do it. And so we teach guys to tug on ears, like my dad did mine. Got to figure some way. I've had some good ear tugs today. I think I got bigger earlobes since I started ministering to men. And if you don't, go give someone else some. You want to be a friend? Have a friend, be a friend, right? You want a few tugs? Give a few tugs. So these guys believed, and I'll read it again, that the duty of every man was acceptance, to make a favorable response, to give admittance or approval, to endure without protest or reaction, to regard as proper, normal, and inevitable. The things that we're seeing happen today, and you don't have to be a student of prophecy or a prophet to look at what happened in Vegas and all the other things that are happening in the natural laws of nature, in hurricanes and tornadoes and floods and earthquakes and fires and tsunamis. They're inevitable. We shouldn't be surprised. The birth pains, so Jesus is coming down the hall. And he said in Matthew 24, when they said, what's the signs of you coming again? And one of the signs of the many that he gave was that we're going to have earthquakes and famines and wars and tsunamis and tornadoes and hurricanes. They're going to be like birth pains, he said. And you know what birth pains are. If you've had babies and your wife is starting to feel some birth pains, and the first thing they ask is, how close together are they? Well, they're every 20 minutes. Okay, well, you got a while. Don't come to the hospital yet. And then they check whether an hour or a few hours later, and they go, well, they're about 13 minutes now. Okay, now they're about 10, now they're 8, now they're 5. Get on over to the hospital. Might be time for us to get on over to the hospital. Because what we're seeing is the inevitable is this thing unravels. What we're seeing is not just a country unravel, it's what we talk about a lot. We're seeing a world unravel. But we have a God who's sovereign over the whole deal. And he's not going, oh, crud, wish that had, oh. He's letting nature take its course. They also believed in this acceptance that nothing happens to a guy or to an individual without God allowing it to happen. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he meant it to happen or wanted it to happen, because when we sin and we have a sin nature and we sin, God didn't want me to do that or to hurt that person or to all these people to get killed. But he allows it. Now, I don't understand all I know about that, but I don't have to. I know God's nature. I know God's character. And I know that His character and nature is good and righteous and right and just and fair. He's a fair God. He's a compassionate God. Be merciful to me, O God, according to Your loving and kindness, Your character. By Your mercies and Your grace and Your compassion, blot out my sin and transgression. Is that your God? Is your God a God of forgiveness and grace? Is your God a God who doesn't have to explain Himself to you, but you just know that He works behind the scenes for your good and your benefit to work everything together for good? And then when you start thinking about good, let me ask you a question. Was Susan being taken to heaven good? Was that a good, is God the God of plan and purpose? Could I say, okay, that was a blessing? As painful and grievous and all that stuff that it is? Is that a blessing or not? And God gives us blessings. And so for Susan, it was a great blessing. For me, I'm still working on it. But I know it's a blessing. I don't know how in all the ways it is, and I hadn't figured it out yet, and I hadn't been to the cooking class yet, and all the stuff like that. It's the ripples of this thing. I did work in the yard for 3 hours the other day. I got the pain to prove it. But I know that we have to come back to a verse like Romans 8:28, and we have to decide, and we know with great confidence. Now, you don't want to go further. I don't know. If you had no idea what was coming after that, go, what do I know with great confidence? Well, you know that God, who is deeply concerned about us, knows all about us and is involved in every aspect of our lives and is Almighty God and can do anything. You know, a prerequisite to this whole thing is He works it to good, but He qualifies who and the only ones who actually get it worked for good, and that's those who love God. For those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. Because if you don't love God, you haven't surrendered. And if you do love God, let's put it in those terms, if you do love God, and we sing that little chorus, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. You ever sung that one? I'll spare you me singing it this morning. Do you love God? Because if you love God, you've surrendered to God. You can sing that song, I surrender, I surrender. And I remember as a kid that singing, I surrender all, not I surrender all, not. I mean, that was me. I wasn't surrendering all. And I just figured if I surrendered all, there was jungles and pith helmets involved. So I wasn't ready for that. But it's for those who love the Lord. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll be obedient to me. If you love me, you'll follow me. Drop your nets and follow me. If you love me, you'll let go. Get me out of this, okay? Let go. Well, that's a little difficult to do. But it's the only way that we're going to see things work together for good. And so you qualify if you love God, and you got to prove you love God. You can say you love God. Talk's cheap, right? The way you prove you love God is the way you live your life. Walk in a manner worthy of Him. Paul said, and he said that over and over again in different letters to different churches, walk in a manner worthy of Him. Make Him look good. Make people hungry and thirsty for Him. Oh, how do I do that? Turn the other cheek, go the second mile, bless those who persecute you, pray for your enemies. It's not all this unfeeling and no emotions. A lot of us are unfeeling and don't have emotions. That's not our heart. That's just our personality. Our heart may be very emotional. And some can show it more than others and do. But it's for those who love the Lord. And when you love the Lord, you can accept what God puts into your life because you know He does it for good. If you don't love the Lord, and you're going to end up resisting Him and becoming an atheist out there somewhere. You're going to come to the conclusion that God either doesn't care or He's not able to fix this. And so then you're going to go look for another God, or decide there is no God out there and there are no gods out there. And you can go pout and suck your thumb in the corner. Which sounds like to me is that was what was going on. In your basic theological foundation of your life, is this in there? Have you given God permission to help Himself to your life, and you're going to praise Him no matter what He does, because He's good, He's accepted you the way that you are, He's forgiven all your sins, He makes every decision with your best interest in mind, He cares when you hurt, and He believes you're incredibly invaluable, and He proved that by sending His Son to the cross. Who would not want to surrender to that God? I'm not asking you, and He wasn't asking you when Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." He said to the disciples, "Drop your nets, follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men." He wasn't calling men to drudgery. He wasn't calling men to just pain and suffering with no purpose or plan in it. It always has a purpose and plan. He was calling men to change the world. And how do you change the world? How do you change a heart? You change a heart by being just like Him. When He was reviled, He reviled not. When He suffered, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to His Father, who judges all things and all men and all circumstances righteously. Don't hesitate and try to save your life, because you're going to lose it. I mean, let's just keep it simple. You save your life, you're going to lose your life. You give up your life for Him and the gospel, and you gain life, eternal life. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. And I will hold nothing back. I'll pour out on you a blessing till there's no more need. Is there suffering involved? Always. But you're going to have suffering involved if you surrender. If you don't surrender, you're just going to have to decide, what kind of suffering do I want to go through? Because it's going to be suffering either way. And so I have a God who works all things because I love Him. If I don't love Him, I'm going to get mad and pout and suck my thumb, and I'll show Him. I'll be an atheist. And that's where a lot of guys end up, because they don't have these things in their foundational belief system. They don't, every day when they miss a red light, guys go, "Well, God doesn't care about parking spaces and red lights. I think my God cares about parking spaces and red lights. He's got every hair on my head numbered. Why wouldn't I think He cares about parking spaces and red lights? He knows how many hairs I don't have." And so I want to surrender to this God in everything that I can, in everything that I do. And I want to run to that battle line. I don't want to just kind of walk or go there. I want to run into His arms. I'm not going to stand over there. Don't be one of the thumb suckers. You've been around too long to be a thumb sucker. I mean, some of you may be new, but most of us, I'm looking around here, and we've been around a long time. Short time in light of eternity, but a long time in light of dog years. And we don't have time now in the days that we're facing now. We don't have time for thumb suckers. We're going to have to get it out of low gear. We're going to have to run into our Savior's arms, and we're going to have to declare that He's good and He does all things good. And He does all things good for me because I love Him. And He'll work everything. The devil can throw anything he wants. Pieces of plywood. Last week I shot WD-40 in both eyes. They shouldn't have given me such a complicated can. I'm an Auburn man. And I did like this, and it... boom, 20 minutes flushing my eyes out under the sink. I went 25 just to be sure. And 2 weeks before that, I banged my head into the bed table. Got a cut right above my eye right here. I'm being attacked in my eyes. But see, God's going to work it together for good somehow. It could have been, I mean, it could have been a lot worse, too. I could have just, my glasses could have still been on. They flew off when I flew forward. I didn't ask you what he said. Speak when you're spoken to around here. Holy Spirit. If I was going to have a human Holy Spirit, John, you would be it. But you're not the human Holy Spirit. Look at that. And you know what the Lord says to me? He just says, let her go. See, if you could see her now, let her go. And I feel really like I'm getting better and better about that.
Hallelujah.
Every day that goes by. Because my God has a plan and a purpose. And he told me, he says, I've finished with her. She completed everything I needed her to do and wanted her to do and called her to do. So she's with me now, and we still got work.
Amen.
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 We got work to do here. So let's don't be thumbsuckers. Let's don't get caught up in politics. Let's don't get caught up in stuff that doesn't matter and it's not eternal. Let's give our hearts and our lives to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to loving Jesus Christ, to getting to know Him more. You want to get to know Him better and more, sign up for Arkansas. If you don't have anything going on, go ahead. You got to spend your money on something. That's something good to spend your money on. Go get with a bunch of guys who believe this with all their heart and who are going to get together and raise Cain and the Ozarks are here every Friday morning. There's a bunch of empty chairs right here. You probably know some guys that could benefit from being around guys like you.
Amen.
Hearing music like this and a message like this. Go get them. We got work to do here. Let's get it out of low gear. Let's serve our Savior. Because God is going to do good to us in the process. You don't have to worry about God doing good. He's going to bless you. And I pray a blessing right now. Let's lock arms. And Father, we're doing this because we're in this thing together. We're brothers in Christ. And so, Lord, we're going to ask You to bless us. Bless us with an understanding of knowing what a great God we have. Bless us with more opportunities to suffer for You. We're not asking You to send suffering our way. It'll come without us asking. But when it comes, we just ask You that we could glorify You by our response. That we could respond like Jesus responded. When He came out of Gethsemane, Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to come out of Gethsemane having settled it with You. Not my will, but Your will be done. And we want to come out, and when we're lied about and we're mistreated or it's unfair, or when we've been unfair, we confess it and make it right. And so we're going to follow You. We've decided and we've agreed together that our God is God, that our God's a good God, and He works all things together for good because we love You. And we're called to the Great Commission to care about others, to just love and give grace to people. Forgive us for all our biases. Forgive us all our affinities and people we like and don't like. We have to check that at the door as we go out today. Just to love on people and help people, serve people, give them grace, forgive them, and be quick about it. And we'll do it because You've given us Your Holy Spirit, and we can do it through His power. And I can do, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we will, in Jesus' name, and all God's men said,
Amen.
Give them heaven, guys.
Thank you.